Hey, great podcast today. You don't want to miss a second of it. We have Megyn Kelly on. She's hysterical as we talked about Fannie Willis and the goings-on of our court system now. We also talked an awful lot about this memo, this secret memo that was written for the leadership of government on how they're going to react when the people of Canada, this is a Canadian thing, realize the hopelessness of their situation. Wait, the what? I mean, is there one of those memos here for us that we should read? All that and so much more on today's podcast, brought to you by Jace Case. Jace Medical is this really fantastic company that is looking for ways for you to be able to have a little more control of your medication, especially with shortages that are coming. They're already here, quite frankly. The Jace Case started with 5 antibiotics for the most common bacterial infections. You get the 5 antibiotics at your home. Now they've made them also for children, so you can get your children's medication as well and have it in your home just in case of a breakdown. But they go further than that now. They also are working on medications for all of your family, all of the medications that you might need. You know, if somebody has, my family, anti-seizure, blood pressure medicine, all of that stuff, we have it in the house. That is such a blessing in case something happens. Check them out now, jacemedical.com. That's Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. We're glad you're here. Pat Gray is joining us now, who had a unique experience hosting Alex Jones on his program.
I did. Yeah, hello, we spoke Pat. To Alex Jones for about 50 minutes to an hour-ish, somewhere in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was yesterday. And how did it go?
I think it went really well. I mean... Yeah. I was surprised, quite frankly. I was shocked.
This is not
it
the
was
first
not
time,
what I was expecting.
Not the first time you talked to him.
No, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been about 20 years since the last time I had Alex Jones. I was in Houston at KPRC, where I interviewed him there for, I don't know, an hour or two.
And that went well.
That went well.
I remember thinking that one went well.
Yeah, that was a little more confrontational than this one was.
He's come around, apparently.
I mean, there's been some growth there, I think, probably on both sides. But, you know, because I'm much less militaristic than I was 20 years ago. And I think he's softened on some issues as well. And we met a little bit closer to the middle. But I did ask him. I did ask him about the CIA substation.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Yes.
Wait. What's going to remind people what that is?
Just as a reminder, he claimed.
Can we get the long version, please, if you can.
He claimed that this building that you oversee, Glenn, was a CIA FBI substation.
Shh.
And not only I think he got a little influenced by the fact that Buck worked here. Buck Sexton was once a member of the CIA, and then I guess we were just we were all infiltrated by the CIA once he came to work for us. But once he left.
It turns out it's not true.
It turns out it's not true. That,
it's not a substation. Never found the substation. It's an official building of the CIA
It's CIA headquarters.
Yes.
It's
an HQ.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And
it's the Hoover vacuum building.
He also, do we have the clip? Do you have it?
I think we do have something,
All right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
A few years ago, you mentioned that this facility is a CIA substation. CIA FBI substation. And
we haven't forgotten, Alex.
We haven't forgotten.
Okay.
And that Glenn might even
our cover was blown, man.
Might have even been an agent for Obama. Have you changed your mind on those two things?
Yeah, I was probably drunk when I said that.
Oh, no.
Fair enough.
That's fine.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I've already apologized to Glenn. I think Glenn's a good guy.
He's
and
a
I think
guy.
Like Tucker Carlson, you know, who's apologized to me, Tucker Carlson said like 12 years ago, Alex Jones is a evil, lying, you know, parasite because he thinks that the government knew about 9/11. I wasn't saying radical Islam doesn't exist. I wasn't saying that it, you know, there aren't terror attacks. I was saying the government, I thought, knew about it. And so people that were, I think, naive because they believed in the system at that point thought I was a bad guy just saying things to be mean. I've grown. I've gotten wiser. I'm 50 years old now. I think Glenn Beck's done some of the best work ever done exposing the Soroses and the New World Order and the globalists. And I know he got run out of Fox because he wouldn't back down. So I admire Glenn Beck. Like Glenn Beck when he would say, Alex Jones is full of it. There's no plan to arrest constitutional patriots. Well, but we had newscasts and documents, and I understand Glenn couldn't believe that at the time. Now Glenn sounds like me on that. I sound like him on other things. I think it was an honest misunderstanding. But to be honest with you, Glenn attacked me first. I remember early on, I've been around forever now, you know, 10, 15 years ago, Glenn Beck attacking me. And I get it. He would hear my show and hear things out of context. Like, this guy's a lunatic. And so I don't want to fight with Glenn. And sometimes old clips reassurge and get millions of views. And I think Glenn does so much good. I watch his show all the time. I think he's one of the best commentators out there. I love him. And so then I just, you know, he's way more hardcore than he used to be because the world is more hardcore. And Glenn now admits that things are bad and that, I mean, look, so I was some off base. Glenn was off base. If you kind of move the two together, you kind of get the answer. So it's a process. And so that's it. I have no animus against Glenn. I'm so glad he's on air. I'm so glad he's more popular than ever. And that's where I stand. I just do not want to fight with Glenn because he's doing a great job.
There you go.
That's very nice of him to say. He has apologized to me. And I actually gave him one of my paintings.
Really?
Yes, I did.
I hadn't heard that.
Yes, I did.
Oh, did you get
kind
one?
Of a peace offering.
I didn't get one either.
No.
Wow. Alex Jones
got
peace offering or any other kind of offering.
Wow. I've been working with him this whole time, and I didn't get crap.
So, I don't want to be enemies with people, and I think he has learned a lot, and so have I. He's right. You know, when he says, I will admit that things are bad now, I honestly didn't think, I was very naive. I really thought, I think we all did.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. We've come a long way since, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, because we see that there's some definite issues that are going on.
Look, I don't get into the middle. I feel like all this stuff about, you know, people fighting in the media is nonsensical anyway. I don't like any of it.
And I don't remember Glenn attacking Alex Jones, frankly. Not. I think that might have been me.
Oh, no. I don't want to dredge this all up.
No.
But remember, he was... the first time I ever heard of Alex Jones was when he said that I was... Right after September 11th, that I was a CIA agent because nobody could rise this fast. You know, because remember, my show started right after September 11th, and then 2 years later, we're on CNN and, you know, everything else. And who is this guy? And he didn't know. And I heard that from everybody in the media. You know, where did you come from? Oh, I don't know. I've just been toiling in the center of the country for, you know, I don't know,
20 years.
Yeah. So he was, you know, he said that. And then that's when I started going off on him. Of just laughing, maybe I did attack him first. I don't think so, but it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Really.
Yeah, it doesn't. But if you want to hear that entire interview, you can go to blazetv.com, use a promo code PATBINGO30 if you want to see the whole thing.
PATBINGO30.
PATBINGO30.
It's a good code.
What does he think? Did you talk to him? Did you talk to him about you know, the election and what he thinks is going to happen?
He thinks that if Trump doesn't win by a landslide, it could be stolen. He thinks that, you know,
I think that's true.
Yeah, 6 or 7 points, I think he believes, and so do I, that it's too much to overcome with some cheating involved. If it's not close, then Trump's got a chance. I kind of think that's where he sort of is right now.
How did this come about? I'm curious as to how did this come about.
There was a we saw a trailer about an HBO documentary they're doing on him.
Oh, really?
And it was interesting to us, and we got to talking about him and playing the old clips and doing what we do with Alex Jones. And then somebody suggested, "Why don't we have him on?" I'm like, "No." But then I started thinking about it and decided, yeah, that might be interesting. Let's see where he's at on this stuff. Mm. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think the Sandy Hook thing, just un-American. Mm-hmm. That judgment against him was just absolutely un-American.
You know, it's
$1.5 trillion dollars or something.
Well, they wanted $2.7 trillion,
or a billion,
the GDP of India. That's what they wanted.
Yeah.
$2.7 trillion.
Unbelievable.
They wound up winning a judgment of $1.5 billion. That's what they expect to get from Alex Jones.
My guess is he does not have.
He does
that.
Not have $1.5 billion.
This is not like Trump, where he has it. It's just locked up in real estate.
Right.
This is a different.
It's not like that. Uh-huh. It's a different situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd have to sell more.
Come on, you guys, more than
he owns.
You guys, you know that he's getting money from McDonnell Douglas for all the big war companies are just pouring money into him.
Oh sure.
Keep talking about war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah. So I think did you ask him what does that mean to him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it means that I think the court, he can't talk about a lot of it. So some of those things we didn't discuss, because the Sandy Hook thing he can't really get into because of the judgments.
No.
But the court basically controls. You know, he had to declare bankruptcy, obviously. And especially after he was cut off from all of his platforms, it made it a little bit difficult to make money. So I think the court oversees what he can make and what outlays go back to the families.
For the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because $1.5 billion is going to take a while to pay off.
One thing that's interesting, too, about the Alex Jones Sandy Hook saga is that, you know, this is really an early attempt as to this lawfare approach that the left has adopted. I mean, they really did try to take him out. Now, look, he said stuff that I would never even attempt to defend about that situation.
Yeah.
Though as far as I know, not a central part of show after show after show after show with him. I think it was.
I don't think so.
Look, he said some dumb stuff. He's admitted it was dumb stuff. But to go and look, these parents that went through this lost their children, obviously, but then did get tortured by people online about this stuff, and it was all awful.
But how is he responsible for
some lunatic who goes on Twitter and says a terrible thing to a parent?
Crazy.
Like that's crazy. You should be held responsible for your own actions. The person who tweets terrible things at these parents, who emails them, who threatens them, those people should be held responsible for their actions. He can't be held. That's just ridiculous.
It is. And can we not? Do we not have freedom of speech anymore? I guess not. You know, in some ways we don't.
Yeah. No.
So.
We don't.
And this
we don't.
Was, and you look at the same thing that they're doing, they did to Jones. They are attempting to do to Trump, right? They're trying to personally bankrupt
him. And Elon Musk.
And they'll come for us.
Yeah.
They'll come for us. And that's why you set up the Blaze.
They will.
And that turns out that was probably a pretty good move.
Yeah, it was a great CIA operation. Oh, crap.
Probably did it again.
I started it all over again.
Let the cat out of the bag.
In conjunction with the CIA.
And the FBI. Don't forget the FBI.
You guys, man. Mm-hmm. We would be good at this CIA stuff if any of us could keep a secret. We would be so good.
If it weren't for you damn kids.
Thanks so much,
so
Pat.
The whole interview again. Pat Gray.
Go to blazetv.com. Use the promo code PatBingo30. You get $30 off your subscription.
Why is it Pat?
See, Pat Bingo, Pat Gray Bingo started on Monday.
Okay,
and so they use that as a
Pat
promo
Bingo
code.
30.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Thanks,
Pat.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Pat's like a old 1970s movie of the afternoon kind of show where it's like. And I know we're enjoying our movie, but we're going to make our cash call here in just a minute, and we're going to be playing some movie bingo. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. Oh, Megan, how do you feel about Fannie Willis? I'm going to quote because I mean, she finally came out. She recognized it. She described herself yesterday as the face of the feminist movement and the face of women. She said, I feel more love. Actually, I've gotten a lot of support from women, and that kind of surprised me. I'll tell you this, especially with African-American women who will just come up to me and say, we're so proud. You're such a great representative of us. But I'd be lying to say it was only African-American women. I've had Caucasian women, Asian women, Indian women. I didn't think I was the face of the feminist movement, but somehow I've become it. Wow.
Oh, my God.
That is a... That's a
just threw up a little in my mouth. I feel about Fannie Willis the way I feel about Kamala Harris. These people cannot be feminist leaders or the face of female success because they're too dumb. It's too bad for womankind. We can't allow it. Kamala Harris cannot be the first female vice president or president, God forbid. And Fannie Willis is not the face of womanhood. I mean, what does that mean? The face of womanhood is do a piss poor job of managing your money, wind up flat broke despite the fact that you have a law degree, decide to see the world anyway by shipping some guy who you're, you know, who's married to another woman and letting him take you all over the world on his dime and then lie about it under oath. That's not, no, she's not my representative, nor most women's.
So do you believe her that she's hearing that? I mean, I guess in small numbers, maybe, but there's no groundswell support for her, is there, that I'm missing?
You know what? You're only saying that because you don't hang out in hard left circles. I'm sure she is some yes. sort of an icon to the people who absolutely hate Trump and think that Jack Smith is a hero and think that Letitia James is one and Alvin Bragg. And that's why they love Fannie. They don't know anything about Fannie. They just know that she's trying to get Trump. So they think the future of the Republic hangs on this woman and that she needs to be elevated in the same way we need to ruin Ron and McDaniel, right? It's the opposite side of the same coin.
So I was talking to Andy McCarthy yesterday, and he said Fannie Willis and Letitia James, both the way they have just gone after Donald Trump and Letitia James actually campaigning, saying, I'm going to yep. get him, hire me, and I'm going to get him. He said 15, 20 years ago, you wouldn't have had a chance. Nobody in, you know, the law industry, if you will, would have respected you at all. You wouldn't have gotten elected. We've changed.
It's so dangerous. All I can say is I go to bed at night sleeping comfortably for now because we have 6 conservatives on the U.S. Supreme Court for the first time that I can remember in my lifetime. And they're the yeah. last guard against this nonsense. They're there, and on the most egregious overreaches, they're going to correct things. They won't get involved in everything, but thank God we have them, because the justice system, as everyone knows now, is being perverted by hard partisans who, unlike, you know, maybe as recently as 10 years ago, feel no need to hide it. He's right. 20 years ago, right. prosecutors didn't even understand their job to have anything to do with politics. They understood they would get fired if they looked at justice through that lens. 10 years ago, I think they started doing it, but knew enough to try to hide it, that it would be considered bad form. And now they're running for office on it. So I've never seen such hard partisans in the prosecutorial decision since Mike Nifong in the Duke case, right? Somebody who's just completely mm-hmm. subverting justice to advance their own interests. In his case, he wanted a higher pension, and he'd get it if he remained on as DA in a minority-majority district. And therefore, he sided with the black fake accuser against the white innocent defendants on the lacrosse team. Well, that's Fannie Willis. She loves being DA. She's running around telling everyone she's the greatest DA Fulton County's ever seen. And she's, as far as I can tell, not particularly talented. She's definitely not a very smart person. And yet she's paying somebody $10,000 a year to monitor her media references. The taxpayers are footing that bill, by the way, because she wants to be a star. That's what Fannie Willis wants. She wants you to see her as an icon of feminism, the one who got Trump, not who got justice. But let me tell you something, Glenn. Her problems are just beginning. There's a very high likelihood that Fannie Willis will be disciplined, including potentially up to disbarment. that some enterprising committee, whether it's the state Senate committee in Georgia or potentially the bar or someone beyond, is going to get their hands on the actual substantive texts between Fannie and Nathan Wade, putting the lie to their on-stand testimony about when their affair began. And that's to say nothing of the case she has against Trump completely falling apart because there is no RICO violation here.
Well, we found out from another icon of women, another genius woman, AOC, that RICO isn't against the law. It's not a crime. It's an act.
Amazing. How do you grow up? Doesn't she want us to believe she grew up in the Bronx, which she didn't? She's from Yorktown Heights. It's totally different. But okay.
Really,
I date a guy from Yorktown Heights. It's a lovely suburb. His dad is a New York City cop. They live there. It's not the Bronx. It's in Westchester. It's very different. In any event, how do you grow up in any of the five boroughs of New York and not understand what racketeering is? All right, it's kind of like our favorite crime to bring against the mobsters. It's how we no longer have as active a mob as we used to. She knows very well that it is a crime, and it is something we use traditionally to get the mob, where you have multiple players working together to advance a criminal enterprise, which, as Andy McCarthy, who you mentioned, has said about the Trump defendants in the RICO case, seems like the only thing they've done together is get indicted.
let me switch to another court case, the Letitia James case, seizing of Trump's assets. The bond was reduced from $464 million to $170 million, which everybody kind of celebrated. Went, oh, wow, it's good for it's still $170 million, which is in a victimless crime. I don't understand.
It's completely outrageous. I mean, look, there's no arguing that it's better than 454. Like, I guess if you go
right,
through
right,
your silver linings, you know, you'd pick the latter, you'd pick 170, whatever. But no, you're right. And look, I think Trump should be able to come up with this as opposed to the 450, which was scary and might have cost him a building or two, which is just so unjust. But it doesn't change much in the case. The injustice against him is patent to anyone who's not a hard left partisan. And what amazed me about yesterday, I couldn't believe it. I mean, sometimes the media still surprises me, was the outrage on the left about
the,
quote, special treatment Donald Trump
I know.
From the apartment.
I read that.
Oh, my gosh.
I read that this morning. I thought, are you kidding me? You're saying there's a double standard for Donald Trump and it's in his favor? That's craziness.
Yes. Like, okay, Lawrence Tribe is a Harvard Law School professor. He's been there forever, and he's a committed leftist. He's come on my show. When I first launched my show, he came on, and we discussed, I think it was something around January 6th. I can't remember. But my point is, he wasn't such a lunatic that I said, oh, I don't really want to talk to this person, right? Like, if there's when they're too far around the bend, I don't want to deal with them. This, he was leading the charge yesterday about the two-tier justice system in favor of Donald Trump. They're too far gone to save. And unfortunately, their prosecutors and their judges, and some of them are involved in these Trump cases, which is why I think we understand the fix is in. He's probably going to lose potentially across the board on all four of these criminal cases and the two civil cases we've already seen, the E. Jean Carroll one go against him, and now this Engoron one has gone against him and is going up on appeal. And it's all been baked in. I think at this point, the only thing that's going to save Trump is the Supreme Court and us in November. Those are the two ways out of this for him, which is pretty ironic, Glenn, if you think about it, because what the Democrats want more than anything is for him to not be president again, to not run for president again, to skulk off into the darkness. And yet they've made it such that he must win in order to save his life, his company, his business, his freedom. He has no choice but to win. So he's going to fight harder than ever. I mean, it's kind of perfect.
What do you think of Jonathan Turley? I was saying earlier today, there's a couple of voices that I really trust when it comes to the law. One of them is yours, Alan Dershowitz, and Jonathan Turley. What do you think of him?
I love Turley. He's great. He's I used to put him on my show in the middle of the afternoon when nobody was watching, and he was a George Washington professor, and I went to visit him a couple times, and he's brilliant. He's what I love about Jonathan is he's got a way with them word things that not all real lawyers have. Some lawyers can do it in a courtroom or in a brief, but they can't do it on live TV. And he's great at it. I played a soundbite from him 2 weeks ago when the Fannie Willis judge said, you got to choose. One of you is going, Fannie or Nathan. You guys choose. And he said, it's as if you found two crooks in the bank vault and you only prosecuted one. You know?
Right.
So anyway, I love him. He's trustworthy and he's fair. And I don't even think that Jonathan Turley is conservative. He's just extremely fair.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think he's a constitutional guy. Which can you know constitutional people, because if they're really based in the Constitution, it doesn't always fall in your favor. Sometimes because it's neutral, and sometimes we lose our way. Can I ask you all of the stories that have come out today? There's one I think in Rolling Stone that talks about the structure that the left is building to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't cheat. I've always felt that whatever they say we're doing. And it's this amazing article about how they've got lawyers everywhere. They're lawyering up for any crazy thing because he's not going to steal this election. And their premise on why they're doing this is because they say he's lawyering up and he's going to try to steal the election. What are we facing in November? What are we facing?
You know, my mom spent her lifetime as a psychiatric nurse at the Albany Veterans Hospital. And I believe they call this transference. That's my psychiatric background for you. I think it's transference where, what they're doing here.
Yep. Yes.
I do think this is their best chance of winning. I think they've got more money than the Republicans do, and most of Trump's money is going to have to go to his legal fees, which I have to be honest, I do also think that helps him. Like, I also think that increases his chances of winning. People are so angry. I don't think it's a complete waste to flush the money down on legal expenses. But in any event, they've got more money. They are better organized. And I think they're dirtier and they're more afraid. They're definitely more afraid. Mm-hmm. I watched 27 minutes of Rachel Maddow last night, Glenn. 27. I don't think I've ever done that. I said to my team, is this dramatic? What is with the...
Oh, yeah.
She reminded me of Katie Britt. Take a deep breath, okay? Anyway, she was telegraphing 100%, as she has been for a while now, that Donald Trump is going to get in office, Glenn, and is never going to leave. That the references by Trump and others to an unfair 2020 election, forget whether you think it was stolen. I think most Republicans would agree on unfair and not entirely legit.
Yes.
That is all trying to dull the senses for the argument Trump will make when he's reelected, that we can't have any more elections, that the system's crooked, and therefore we just have to keep him in there forevermore like a king. And that, the country would just go along with that because we're morons and we've had the senses dulled. Those are the stakes that the left sees on Trump's being elected right now. And so who would put anything past that group? We listen to Sam Harris say it pretty explicitly. I applaud him for his honesty. At least he's being clear about the way he feels. The left, most of these people are, reluctant to actually say that. But behind the scenes, what are they doing? I think whatever it takes.
God help us all. Megan, thank you so much. We'll listen to you again right after my program on XM. Thank you so much.
The pleasure's all mine, my friend.
You're listening to the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Let me give you a story, a secret RCMP, that's the Royal Canadian Mounted Police report, It's warning that the federal government, Canada's federal government, may descend into civil unrest once citizens, and I'm quoting, realize the hopelessness of their economic situation. Quoting again, the coming period of recession will accelerate the decline in living standards that the younger generations have already witnessed compared to the earlier generations. This report is entitled Whole of Government 5-Year Trends for Canada. So this is something that they labeled secret, and it's intended as a piece of special operations information to be distributed only within the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and decision makers in the federal government. I don't know who the decision makers are in the federal government. Does that mean all of Parliament or just the Prime Minister or just a select few? I don't know. The report says, for example, many Canadians under 35 are unlikely to ever be able to buy a place to live. A heavily redacted version was made public as a result of the access to information request filed by Matt Malone, an assistant professor of law at British Columbia's Thompson Rivers University and an expert in government secrecy. Describing itself in the introduction as a scanning exercise, the report is intended to highlight trends in both Canada and abroad that could have a significant effect on the Canadian government and our RCMP. Right from the get-go, the report authors warn that whatever Canada's current situation, it will probably deteriorate further in the next 5 years. In addition to worsening living standards, they also warn of a future increasingly defined by unpredictable weather, seasonal catastrophes such as wildfires and flooding. Most notably, the report authors warn of Canada facing increasing pressures to cede Arctic territory. Now, who would you cede that to? I think there's only two other options, and that would be China and Russia. Another major theme of the report is that Canadians are set to become increasingly disillusioned with their government. Now, listen to this. We're talking about Canada, and I'm seeing this all over the Western world. Stop the fighting between Republicans and Democrats. It's a red herring. You've got to start concentrating on those who believe in the Constitution and those that do not. Another major theme of the report is that Canadians are set to become increasingly disillusioned with their government, which authors mostly chalk up to misinformation, conspiracy theories, and paranoia. So it's not just us. They have their extremists as well. I wonder what their extremists are saying. Oh, don't lock us down for COVID. Oh, no secret courts. Things like that. Law enforcement should expect continuing social and political polarization fueled by misinformation campaigns and an increasing mistrust for all democratic institutions. Now, who has destroyed those institutions? People who say, hey, CDC, you don't have a right to do that. Hey, I'm not putting that in my body because you haven't really tested it. This is experimental. No. Did the people who said that, are they the ones who caused the distrust? Or was it the government that said all questions equal extremists? If you ask a question, you're an extremist. Ironically, among the report's more heavily redacted section is one carrying the subtitle Erosion of Trust. The past 7 years have seen marked social and political polarization in the Western world, reads a partial first sentence, with the entire rest of the section deleted by government censors. Okay, so what does this mean? Well, it means this is a report from like their FBI. And they are seeing the trends. They are looking at the economic factors. They are looking at what's being done to the West intentionally and also from foreign. They are looking at the immigration plans of the West. They are looking at the spending plans of the West, and they're being told to prepare for it. Now, again, let me take you back to who is the problem. Which one is the extremist? This just came out yesterday. In California, squatters are taking over people's properties, and this is happening all over California. It's happening all over the country. There's, I think, 30 squatters on one man's nine-acre land. He can't get them off. He said in 1 week, he had to take five dumpster loads of garbage off of his land. And he can't do anything about it. In New York, there was a woman who the squatter went into her million-dollar home. She and her daughter came home, opened up the door, and there's somebody living in there now. Who the hell are you? Well, who the hell are you? I leased this from somebody. Show me the lease. Oh, I don't have it anymore. Well, who was it? I don't know. Clearly a squatter who invited another squatter in to also lease. And that squatter is paying the other guy who doesn't have a right to the house at all. He was taken out a few days later. She's taken away because he came back in the house and she decided that she was going to turn off the electricity and everything else. I'm not paying for this. You can't do that in New York. Can't do it. So all these squatters are happening all over the country. That's lawlessness. Now, which one's going to be called lawless? In California, squatters are taking over people's properties. So a company called Squatter Squad is coming in and removing them. If they don't want to come out or prove they're on the lease, they'll rip the doors off the property to force them out. If we can't count on the government, which we pay taxes to, so to have our backs, it looks like we have to rely on our fellow Americans to do it. Well, there's a trigger word in there, and that's Americans. Americans. They're apparently America first kind of people. These squatters have rights too. No, they don't. No, they don't. Who is the problem? Well, I can guarantee you the government is going to say those people who are going in to give the home back to the rightful owner. Look at the second term. Who is going to be running the country for the next 4 years? Elon Musk came out yesterday and said, I don't think we survive another 4 years of Joe Biden. I think he's right. There's a great article in the Examiner today that just looks at everything that's happened to the most progressive president in history, Joe Biden, what he's done. Almost quoting, almost every agency in the Biden administration is waging a war on parents, on people of traditional faith, property rights, or judicial independence. Administration officials and Biden-appointed judges have either proposed or implemented rules supporting schools and healthcare providers that refuse to share medical or psychological information with parents, that target parents as domestic terrorists, that crack down on schools or parents who dare put age restrictions on the availability of radically pornographic books for young children, or even to know about and comment on policies, budgets, curricula for the schools. Bidenites try to force foster care providers out of business merely for catering to parents of traditionalist faith, and even support taking biological children away from their parents merely because the parents insist on using biologically correct pronouns. Do you hear what has happened in the last 3 years? Key in that paragraph to me is parents are terrorists. Parents are terrorists. Top White House and Justice Department officials refuse to condemn or penalize protesters who violate the law by harassing Supreme Court justices. Remember, they were chanting death threats. They refuse to apologize for trying to prosecute peaceful pro-life protesters who manifestly were wrongly charged, and they lie about FBI attempts to assume traditionalist Catholics are also, keywords, violent extremists. Now you have parents and you have Catholics being violent extremists or terrorists. When the full weight of government with the sanctioning power of threats or arrest is used or threatened in this way against parents and people of faith, we should all take note and be frightened. The truth, though, is that it's not just in the cultural realm that the Biden administration is waging a regulatory reign of terror. Any innocent person who has his life turned upside down by the vindictive, unchecked, unresponsive administrative state knows exactly how damaging this experience can be. The Food and Drug Administration is now finalizing a requirement for tens of thousands of diagnostic tests, often costing hundreds of thousands of dollars for each, to be submitted to it for its approval. For some reason, the Security and Exchange Commission is promulgating climate rules that would roil thousands of public companies with class action lawsuits. Even liberal universities are furious about the Commerce Department rule that could deprive them, their researchers, of patents. And on with the examples could go on in agency after agency with the effect of massive job kills, energy, medical shortages, and the death of research and development. Evasion of ordinary legislative procedures or judicial review, often in open defiance of court decisions, combined with powers of government enforcement mechanisms, make this administration aggressive, and it makes it an undemocratic, authoritarian grab of power in all realms of daily life. When this is combined with Biden's deliberate, astonishingly defiant importation of illegal immigrants by the millions, with hundreds of thousands released indefinitely or forever into the U.S. interior, the scope of Biden's radicalism becomes clear. Because of border laxness, definitely including laxness towards potential jihadists, we should be amazed if the U.S. does not suffer a simultaneous, multiple-site set of attacks from terrorists straight out of a Tom Clancy novel. How true this is. It goes on and on and on. These are things that everybody must first recognize. We have to come to some sort of peace within ourselves that you're either for the Constitution of the United States of America and this country as it was outlined in our founding documents, or you're for something else yet defined. I've defined it. I know what it is. But do you know what it is? Because what's happening is not normal.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.